There it is again, the two-time major champ.
That is her ninth one putt in a row.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show with Dino and Ray. Our next guest, I reckon he'd have a few sessions where he would have started bright and early on and gone all day. Phil Bugs, good morning.
He was untouchable.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, guys. I tell you what, I did enjoy the Craig Bellamy interview. It was a great interview. He's such a different person to the mad guy we see in that coaching box on TV, isn't he? And you know what I picked up out of the interview? It's not necessarily the week-to-week and game day he enjoys. It's bringing through young players and developing them. And then I started to think, when was the last superstar Melbourne Storm signed? And you go back, I can't recall any. And you go back, and he was talking about these young kids he develops. Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, Greg Inglis were unheard of before they, you know, came out of the Storm feeder system. More recently, Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster. He has a phenomenal record of developing young football players. And look, I'm not saying Slater wouldn't have been a great player at another club, but, you know, someone had to start him, someone had to develop him. And his track record in that area, I think, is superior to Jack Gibson or Wayne Bennett even.
Gut feeling, Buzz? Will he be back next year?
Oh, the way he was talking, Bulldog, yes. Mm. He gets a kick out of it, doesn't he? Mm. And as I said, Dog, we can see the stress the man goes through for 80 minutes every week. But, you know, what we don't see was the person who spoke to you guys and the laid-back, funny, you know, happy-go-lucky guy that he really is. So it's misleading what we see on television, isn't it?
Yeah, and also he's a deep thinker too, Buzz. Like his comments when Dino asked him about some of the coaches who are currently under pressure at the moment, Jason Demetriou and Brad Arthur, and his take on that, I found that really interesting.
Yeah, look, I took on board everything he said there, but I don't necessarily agree with it. And I think particularly now Brad Arthur, what was the second half, Bulldog? 40-8.
Yes.
Against, you Dolphins, know, last weekend.
Yeah, Dolphins, yeah.
And you look at the quality of the players. It's all right to say they didn't have Mitchell Moses. Did you see the four players that, you know, the Dolphins didn't have? Mm. You know, they had arguably, who were they, Bulldog? The four players. It was, you know, they were very, very lucky that they weren't at full strength. It could have been worse.
Now, Buzz, we've read with interest your What's the Buzz column in today's Sunday Telegraph. A couple of really big stories in there. I do want to ask you first up about Joey Manu.
Yeah.
You've written a story which is quite revealing about his future.
Yeah, well, when Joey Manu did his deal and announced it with Japanese Rugby Union during the week, most of the media were under the impression that it was a two-year deal. So I dug a little bit deeper and I found out that it was only a one-year contract and that from May next year, when the Japanese rugby grand final takes place, Joey Manu is free to return to the Sydney Roosters. You'll note that they didn't go hard, the Roosters, for a player of Zach Lomax's quality or any other high-profile players, even though they're losing Manu and Joseph Swalehi and Daniel Tupu. So I'm of the understanding the club is keeping salary cap money aside for Joey to return from round 12 onwards and to play in the finals should the Roosters make it. And you wouldn't do this for every player, but this guy is a serious, serious superstar. He wants to play fullback. He knows next year will be James Tedesco's last at the Sydney Roosters. So I'm convinced, 99% anyway, that he'll be back in a Sydney Roosters jersey next year. Wow. And look, there's a danger with this sort of stuff because I'm a firm believer that NRL players need a good, strong off-season break from football. It's a tough game, rugby league, and, you know, he's going to be, you know, the sports science, I hope, in Japan is going to be able to keep him fit, because he's got a long way to go in this year, straight into rugby, then back to rugby league. It's, how can a body cope with that?
Yeah, gee, you hope he is back, Buzz, because he is
such a wonderful talent.
Yeah. Hey, Buzz, love the story on Anthony Seibold here. Sometimes it's not all about money, isn't it? And he's told you he's really gone with his heart this time when he went took up the job with Manly, and he admitted when he left South and went to the Broncos a few years ago, he probably did it more for money, and he's learnt it's more about going with your heart this time.
Yeah, well, look, when Des Hasler parted company with Manly, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Manly went straight for Anthony Seibold, but he was under contract to the English Rugby Union for as long as Eddie Jones was in charge of that team. The English Rugby Union played hardball and said, look, if you want to go back, we'll release you, but we want a $150,000 transfer fee. And Manly, understandably, weren't prepared to pay that, the Penn family or Tony Mestrov. So Anthony Seibold paid out of his own pocket $150,000, the transfer fee, to come home and coach in the NRL. And shows how desperate he was to come home. He, as you said, Ray, he spoke to me yesterday about, he left South for money, the Broncos, and the big, I think it was a 5-year deal, and really, really big money, and it didn't work out there. There was a lot of personal pain and mental health issues for him to deal with there. But he certainly found a home at Manly. He's done a terrific job. They were a fractured footy club from the Pride jersey fiasco when he returned home, and they're a very, very happy camp now. He's doing a good job, and he's about to sit down with Mestrov to talk about a contract extension, and he deserves that. He's got them playing a real nice brand of footy. Having said that, they need to tidy up their defence after what we saw on the Gold Coast yesterday.
Another interesting story in your column, Buzz. Barry O'Farrell and the West Tigers. It appears he was third choice to be chairman in the review that you secured this week. Run us through that story.
Do you like the headline on the story, Dan?
Yeah, it's a very clever headline. It says bronze medal Barry. I don't know who thought of that.
I wonder who wrote that, Dan.
I don't do headlines, Phil.
I'm tipping it would have been Buzz.
You know you wrote it, Paul.
I don't do headlines.
Oh, did you?
Ray,
it's
what
a
happened?
It's a sub-editor's job, not a journalist's job.
what happened, Ray? I'm going to correct him here, right? Yeah. I rang him and I said, I've got a good story about you. No, he wasn't. He said, there's your heading, bronze medal Barry. I said, thank you, Dean.
It just popped out.
It just popped out. Anyway, it's an interesting story because that internal review the West Tigers did was a highly confidential document. But it's fallen off the back of a truck and someone sent it to me. And what I found quite incredible was, and it said there, we published the report in the paper, was one of the goals out of the report was to secure an independent chair. They went for Cathy Harris. Now, Cathy Harris is a very, very capable chair of Harris Farm Markets and former independent commissioner. She said thanks, but no thanks. Then they went after John Quayle, which was interesting considering he's just been appointed life member of the Roosters, very close to Nick Politis. He was never going to do the job, so he knocked it back too. And then Barry came in as Bulldog described as the bronze medalist and took on the role. Look, and you know what, Dog and Ray? I've been quite critical of him. There was a huge, huge issue around their future. And do they go to Campbelltown? Do they play at Leichhardt? Do they go to Accor or Combank? And I want to hear from him on important topics like this. It's not just me. As journos, we're a pipeline to the fans. Mm-hmm. And that's why we harass these guys and try to get in so we can inform our readers. Now, someone told me he did a little interview on 2GB, and I can't get hold of him. I've spoken to other journalists who can't either. But if you're going to be chair of an NRL club, you need to make yourself available to the media. Do you agree with that, Dean?
Can you get him, Dino?
No, I haven't been trying him religiously. But Buzz is right. All chairmen have to be accessible, as do CEOs. Buzz is right. People bag the media for haranguing these people, but we are just the conduit. We're the messenger to get the message to the fans. But without the media, the fans don't get to know.
Dean, I do have breaking news for you.
Reveal.
I don't think Barry will be taking your call now that it's out there that you wrote the heading. Mate, it's a very offensive headline.
Well, then what did you use it for?
Because you asked me to.
Oh, I asked you to, did I?
I got your dog.
Yeah, thanks. Under the bus.
Hey, Buzz, in your Saint and Sinner column today, both terrific little pieces. Brian Toto, he is one of the game's nice guys. I'll let you explain. And also, the treatment of Casey Badger, Buzz.
Yeah, look, this Brian Toto, Bulldog, isn't he a gentleman, this fella? Lovely, lovely person. I only met him once or twice. I met him in Origin a couple of years ago, and he was so pleasant. Anyway, he's at his local shopping centre in Sydney's West during the week. He notes a homeless man. Sadly, there's many of them across the streets of Sydney. But anyway, he notices this guy. He ducks into the bakery a couple of doors down and buys him some breakfast, you know, and stopped and had a chat. And, you know, you don't have to do these things, do you? And lots of things NRL players do behind the scenes go unnoticed. So I thought it was just an important little story to put in the column today. Mm-hmm. Now, Sinner, Casey Badger, had a poor game in the national capital, enormous controversy. It was revealed afterwards that the Titans should have got a penalty goal in Golden Point for a charge down, offside players, Chevy Stewart. So Casey was sacked after the game. I pointed out in this column that I've seen many senior male referees have multiple poor performances, yet are treated like protected species and back up week after week after week and are not held accountable for mistakes. And what concerns me about this, I think both Belinda Sharp and Casey Badger have proven they're very, very good NRL referees. Mm. And I wonder what this does to her confidence. And I just thought it was a little bit harsh dumping her after one game. I've seen so many Golden Point issues where players are offside in charge downs. And we all know refs put their whistle away. They're not interested in looking for it. Mind you, there were two touch judges there who could have called offside. There's a bunker there that rules on everything but this. Do you think it's a bit harsh, Bulldog?
Yeah, I spoke to Graham Annesley about that, and he's adamant that she wasn't dropped. That's his words, not mine. They are having a rotation of referees this year where some come in, some go out. So he says she wasn't dropped. Yeah. It's just part of the rotation. I don't know. I'll take Graham on face value, Buzz. But as you rightly pointed, it does look very suspect. One game, which is highly controversial, and the next week she's back in the bunker off the field.
Yeah, no, fair enough, mate.
I'll ask you one more, Buzz. You mentioned Brian Toto.
Yes.
Assuming he's first picked as a winger for the Blues, as far as I can work out, it leaves either Josh Adokar, Joseph Suaalii, or Zach Lomax as the three contenders.
Or Dylan Edwards as well.
Dylan Edwards, sorry, Ray, that's a fair call. Well, he'd be out of position. He'd be a contender.
He played for Australia, Bulldog.
Yeah. Yep. So,
on the wing.
Who would you go for right here, right now, Buzz, on the spot?
Well, I wouldn't go for Joseph Suaalii, and I'm just doing a little piece in my Monday Buzz column. Reason being, I want to see Blues jerseys and that New South Wales logo go to players who are committed to that jersey for a long period of time. And everyone always says that the Queensland jersey means more than the New South Wales jersey. And Joseph's off to rugby next year. Good luck to him. He's on $1.6 million a year, hopelessly overpaid, by the way, to play rugby. So let's reward the people who are loyal to New South Wales.
What about this, though, Buzz? I'll interrupt you. If Michael Maguire...
Please,
he wants to win the series, clearly he does, do you pick the best players that you think can win, Or do you go that one step back and say, well, I'm not going to pick him. He's the best player I've got because he's going to rugby. I'm going to ignore
him. Is he the best player?
I'm talking about hypotheticals here.
I'm not talking hypotheticals. I'm talking fair dinkum department. So we agree Brian Toto will be one wing. Despite his lack of height, he's a barnstorming little bulldozer. Do you agree? Mm. Can we lock 100%. Him in?
Yep.
Brian Toto? Yep. Okay. So you've then got Addo Carr, you've got Lomax, who has been just sensational on the wing for St George, and Daniel Tupou, okay? So I don't think Joseph is ahead of the Addo Carr, Lomax or Tupou. I think they go to the line locked together. It's all what, do you know what I mean? Mm. So when you've got four players of almost identical ability, what you do is then, you know, look at reasons, you know, why one's better, etc. You look for 1%. And the fact Joseph won't be available next year, why are we investing in him now when there's players who can do the job equally as well? And it's not about hypotheticals, Dog. It's about, you know.
What happens if a player is going to retire, for example?
Do we doesn't pick matter. Him? He's loyal to rugby league.
But he's not playing the following year.
Doesn't matter, but he's loyal to rugby league. He hasn't chosen to abandon the sport and go and get a big pay packet in rugby.
Agree, disagree, know. Boys.
Oh,
what do you think, Ray? Break the deadlock.
Mate, I don't think they should pick Sua Lee. No.
Based on form or the decision that he's made?
He's playing well. I think there are better wingers at the moment.
Yeah. But the argument...
Look, he's playing good, Dog, but he's not setting the world on fire. That Roosters side has underperformed big time this year. And I think he's going about 7 out of 10.
Yes. I'm not talking about Joey.
I think Lomax
per se.
Is. Because I'm
it's
saying
more
Lomax.
The debate.
Yeah. No. It is. It is. But Lomax is going 9 out of 10. I would think. Mm. It's hard, Dog. It's hard, but you know, we need to. Union's no threat, but we need to look after our own here. That's just my look. People got even. You know, Phil Gould said in 100% footy last year when he signed with rugby. He said, go now and don't let the door hit you on the bum on the way out. You know, people want him to go straight away.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, but I'm just talking
should
about...
Should New Zealand pick Joey Manu this year if there's a test match later in the year?
Oh, he's a match winner.
He's going to rugby.
Yeah, but Sua Lee...
No, but Dog, that won't be a problem because he'll be gone to Japan by then, by the end of season test, the Japanese season. You know, he's contracted over there now.
Hey, Buzz, I will... We'll agree, disagree on this one, Dino and Buzz, so we'll call it a draw. Hey, Buzz, I want to get your tips for today's game, but before we do that, I'm sure you want to say something about the passing of the great David Lord.
Oh, yeah. It's very sad. We a lot of great old media people who taught us the ropes, have passed this year and in heads. And David Lord was a very special human being. We woke up to him every Sunday morning on Channel 7's old Sports World. Great ABC radio commentator. Massive North Sydney Bears fan. And Ken Irvine, he insists, while he was alive, that Kenny Irvine should have been an immortal. And he put up some very, very strong arguments. And up until about 3 weeks ago, I got my last text message from David. I knew he was crook. I didn't know he was so close to passing, but a great contributor to the media. You know, he was huge in World Series cricket, and he actually left the media for a short period of time to manage players. He looked after Jeff Thompson and Vivian Richards and made sure they were very well paid by Kerry Packer at the time. And, yeah, an iconic figure that we've sadly lost. Bulldog, very sad day.
Yeah, well said, Buzz. Just quickly, Buzz, Bulldogs versus Newcastle, 2 p.m. game. Your Sharkies versus the Cowboys, 4:05 p.m.
Yeah, both good games, aren't they? Very hard. Look, I've tipped the Knights, but it would not surprise me at all. It's nearly a toss of the coin game. I'll be down there cheering for the Sharks. I think they can get the money done, but Cowboys with Holmes and Dearden and that pack they got, very, very hard to beat. Should be a great game of footy.
Terrific. Hey, Buzz, appreciate it. We'll talk next Sunday, mate.
See you guys.
Thanks, Buzz.